Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome to Being Here. Happy. Okay.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia, and I'm feeling very happy.
We're talking about the art of listening this morning, afternoon, or evening, depending
where on the planet you are when you're listening to this show.
And we're very, very happy to have you with us, listening.
And we're going to be talking about the art of listening. Most of us here, very few of us truly listen.
Has it ever occurred to you that listening really is an art form?
It's a skill set that you can develop and get a lot better at.
It's kind of like a lot of people can have sex, but then there's making love. You can hear, but then there's listening.
That's right. That was very good, Ariel.
Thank you. I like that.
I got a rush.
I figure, you know, hey, let's entertain them. So the art of listening.
I bet you didn't expect that
either. I bet you they didn't either. But, hey, that's part of living in the moment, which was last week's show. And if you missed it,
you can listen to the archive.
That's right. You can go to our lovely, gorgeous new website at transformationmadeeasy.com, and you can see it's so pretty. And it's so functional, and you can get right through there to the archives of our show. Listening. If you actually listen today, it'll pull you into the moment. And Shia and I discovered after years of working on ourselves, which doesn't work, that if you're simply here, your life will transform.
If you listen, it pulls you into the moment. If you listen and judge or agree or disagree with what's being said, you stay the way you've always been. But you see, we were all raised in families where people disagreed rather than listen. They either agreed with what was being said, but mostly they disagreed.
You know, a big challenge, I think, for people listening to this show is to simply listen to the show and not take pieces of it to slot in and apply to their lives.
See, if you start applying what's being said to your life, you leave. You have to leave. The moment's a very unique place that you're here in, but as soon as you follow thoughts off to the future or the past, you leave. So in the art of listening, you're basically training yourself to hear what's being said from the speaker's point of view. And when you do that, it pulls you into the current moment. Now, you can't multitask while you're listening. So if you're listening and washing your dishes or have a project that you're working on at the same time where this becomes background, this will be the background.
You know what happens for us sometimes? Shy and I will be driving into New York City to lead our Monday Night Alive courses, and we'll be driving in, and there's two channels, 880 and 110 on our local, or 1010 on our local radio shows, that give you traffic.
And we say, okay, let's listen to the traffic.
And we turn on, and it's got music, da-da-da-da, you know, and you listen to it, and it tells you what the traffic is, and the traffic will get done, and we'll look at each other, and we'll say, did you
hear what they said? But we were busy with something else. We were talking about something, and so we didn't even hear it.
Even though it was playing in the car.
Now, that brings us to the principles of transformation, actually.
Absolutely.
The first principle is anything you resist persists and grows stronger.
And that one's pretty easy to see. Like, if somebody says something and you don't like it and you resist it, then you get consumed thinking about it.
Right, and then it dominates your life, and then you drive down the road complaining how they're wrong and you're right about this thing that you disagree with.
Now, the second idea is you can only be exactly where you are in any given moment, or
no two things can occupy the same space at the same time or the same moment at the same time. or your mind at the same time. You can only have one thought at a time. You can only be listening or thinking, but you can't be doing both.
Some of you who may be tuning in for the first time may actually be thinking now about Shai and I finishing each other's sentences. We forgot to tell you at the top of the show, it really is our communication style. So just warning you, it will continue. So you can't think of two things at one time.
Unless you think you can multitask, but you really can't multitask. You can have more than one task happening at the same time, but you bring attention to each task individually to the project that you're doing at that time, and the other one's on hold somewhere.
Well, even our computer on the desktop, you can have multiple applications open where you have your Word program where you type into and your address program open, but one of them is active at any given time. You don't actually, if you hit the keyboard, you're not typing into both at the same time.
Right. And our minds work the same way. See, you can only be with what's going on in this moment of now in your life, and you can either be thinking, which takes you up to the future or the past, or you can be listening to what's being said, and that'll pull you into this moment.
The moment is this incredible place.
It's magic.
Magic.
It creates the possibility of instantaneous transformation, because when you get into the moment, it's as though your whole being realigns with what is rather than the fantasy of what could be or should be that we go off to in our minds when we attempt to plan out our future or work on our past.
Third principle, by the way, is this. Anything you allow, not accept. Accept says
no.
No,
oh,
I don't like it. Okay, I'll get over it. But anything you allow to be
exactly as it is
completes itself.
And exactly means you don't add positive or negative, you don't add or take away judgments of good or bad. You just see the way something is enough for it to complete itself. It's a little difficult to understand because it's not normal to our culture, the idea that the mere seeing of a way of behaving is enough for that way of behaving to be completed. But I can give you a fairly good example.
Please.
If we were in a large conference room that didn't have windows, and you turned out the lights, it would become pitch dark. If there were chairs and tables and couches in this conference room, and we told you to cross the room, you'd probably bump into things. But if we turn on the light of awareness, suddenly the room becomes easy to navigate. Well, it's the same thing with bringing awareness to any behavior. If you see it, then it completes itself just in the seeing of it, and it loses the possibility of tripping you up.
When you're looking at the art of listening in terms of being here and being in the moment, there are plenty of things that take you away from being here. We're going to identify a few of them because it'll make it easier for you to be more of an artisan around listening. Shai, always
an artisan or an artist?
An artist. An artist. Yes, an artist. You already talked about multitasking, that is something that you can't really do and listen, because we establish that all the time. You ever come and you speak to somebody and they look at you blankly? Maybe they're already preoccupied with something. They're doing something. It happens with the two of us, where if one of us is on the phone and has a headset on, you think that person's in the room and you go to talk to them, but actually they're only half in the room because they're preoccupied.
They're mostly outside the room in the telephone set that they're listening into.
So, but I think a stronger thing that keeps you out of listening is your internal conversation.
Right.
It's a gold star point.
Right.
because we, most of us, are preoccupied with plenty of things that we're talking to ourselves about. And if you get interested in the moment you see yourself talking to yourself, if you just bring your attention back out to your environment, your ability to listen will be opened up and unlocked at the same time. Listening. You can't effectively listen
if you're already having a conversation that you're holding on to. You know, a lot of us listen to other people, but we're actually holding on to what we want to say, and we're just waiting for them to finish. So that's not listening, because, you see, no two things can occupy the same mind at the same time. So if you're listening to you're holding on to something to say, then it's as though you're trying to catch a ball, but you already have a ball in your hand. And so, because if you've got something in your thought process that you're holding on to say when the person stops talking, then you're not actually an open vessel, an empty vessel to receive a communication.
It's also really hard to listen when you have an agenda. You're driving to get somewhere. Don't know if you all listened to our show last week, but if you did, you heard a really lovely conversation with Andy. And Andy was talking about how sometimes when he is driving to accomplish things, he cuts off the nuances of other possibilities in his life. And if you are driving to get somewhere, you will find that you don't actually listen because you're not really rooted in where you are. So put your feet on the ground if you're standing. Put your behind in the chair if you're sitting. See if you can really take a deep breath and let yourself listen, fully listen with all of your senses, and pull yourself into the environment in which you're finding yourself. The moment and being here is all it takes to have your life transform.
And see if you can listen to hear what's being said from our point of view today.
Not because we're right, and not because we're wrong.
Just because it's our point of view, and we're expressing it, and if you hear it, it will probably transform your life.
Actually, if you hear what anybody has to say and actually listen, it'll transform our life. And since your life, our life too, and since you've tuned in today, chances are that our style has something to offer you. So that's the beginnings of the art of listening. We're going to be coming back after the break and be talking more. We'll be answering some questions with folks who are calling in. We appreciate you being here today. So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Everybody is thinking green these days, but green is not just an environmental state of mind, it's a healthier state of being. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the structures we live and work in. It's not the dollars that we're spending, but how we spend those dollars. Are we consciously making informed decisions? Join host Connie McCullough as she explores healthier living by choice. Living Green, Healthier by Choice, airs live on the Seventh Wave Network every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in for the challenge of a lifetime, a challenge for greener, healthier living.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back to Being Here. Today we're talking about the art of listening.
And we have a caller on the line. It's Christiane. You there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from Hamburg, Germany.
Excellent. That means we get to see you in 2 weeks on the Freedom to Breathe on October 9th and the Art of Listening, the 10th through the 12th. I'm excited that we're coming.
We're all looking forward to see you.
Thank you so much. You have a question for us today?
Yes, I have a question. And while I'm listening to you, I have the impression that I'm doing the opposite of real listening. I have the impression that I have a lot of fight and arguing with my husband, and I disagree very much with him.
Yes.
So every time we have a fight, I'm not able to look at the things he's saying in a non-judgmental way.
Right.
So,
and that's good. So, it's good that you see that. Really?
Yes, but it doesn't help me.
Oh, well, it doesn't
help
you.
It's the beginning.
No, I'll tell you why it doesn't help you, Christiane. Because you judge yourself for not listening. Do you see that?
Yes, I mean, I judge myself, and he judges me, too.
Yes.
But we have to leave him out of it.
We're
going to
leave him out of it for right now.
Okay.
So, see, the thing is this. The third principle of instantaneous transformation is if you see something, that's enough for it to complete itself if you don't judge it. So that you become aware that you fight with your husband, and you don't really listen to him, and you want to be right, and you know he's wrong, that's all great if you don't judge yourself. Because
well,
if you see
problem,
it...
this is my problem, I think.
What?
I think this is my problem, that I can't keep from judging myself because I want to be a good person. I want to be a good wife for him.
Yes, I understand. But if you judge yourself, when you see yourself doing things that you don't approve of, then you keep doing them. That's the first principle. If you don't like it, you'll do it more. So
the other thing is you learned how to be, even when you say a good wife to him, that puts an awful lot of pressure on yourself because your idea of good wife or bad wife comes from your culture. And I'm not saying that your culture, the German culture, is good or bad. I'm saying it's a culture. I remember when Shai and I built a conference center in Bali, Indonesia, and so we spent quite a bit of time there during the building process and then also for a number of years leading groups. And we were there with there was a family at the hotel right next to where we built. And so we got to see a lot of the children and people growing up. And one of the things that always surprised me is they never took their children by the hand. They took them by the wrist. So if the women there wanted to take and show me a flower, an orchid, they wouldn't grab me by the hand and say, come on, Ariel. They'd grab me by the wrist. And so it was different. What I considered normal, nice, and appropriate behavior was different given the culture. And so our approach, Christiane, is to look anthropologically at cultures. And one of the things you absorbed in your personal, individual, familial culture is your attitudes toward men and what it would mean if you surrendered to a man about you, what it would mean if you let him be right.
Well, okay, yeah.
But you see, if you don't realize, Christiane, that you are the product of the environment that you were raised in, that you learned to fight just the same way your mother and father fought. Now, they may have fought differently, though. They may have fought more quietly.
Mm. Less. Yes, that's right.
Yes, because people do their parents by skipping generations, you see.
Mm.
Your grandparents probably fought loudly, so your parents said, I'm not going to fight like they fight. So they fought quietly, and you fight more loudly. It's so much of... See, when a child is born into a culture, they absorb the culture. And if their parents are there, and their parents fight, and their parents love them, they somehow associate love with fighting. So it's part of the package of their life. They don't just absorb the love. They also absorb the strife that's also happening in the environment they grow up in. And that's like a panini machine sandwiches it together and cooks it together. We associate love with all of those things that were going on in our environments when we were growing up.
I have a question.
Mm. Yeah.
What kind of car do you have?
We have a big van.
Okay.
Well, I have a big van.
Okay.
We have four children.
What brand?
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
So, VW.
Yes.
Great. So here's my question. When you put the key in the ignition of your VW van big enough for four children, and you put the key in and you turn the ignition, do you get mad at your van when it turns on, the motor turns on?
No.
Why not?
Because that's the way my car functions. I put in the key and I turn it around and it starts.
That was so good. That's the design function of the car is when you put the key in and turn it, the motor starts.
Well, your way of relating to your husband is every bit as mechanical as that key and the ignition starting. You don't get mad at the machine. That's the design function of the machine.
So if you can start to see the mechanical nature of your fight, then the fight will end if you want it to.
Here's the thing. It's what Shai was talking about the conference room.
I'm sorry. I'm a man.
I know you don't want to. It's easier to hear me. But
right. You tell her, honey.
So when you turn the lights on, you can see. But, you know,
and if you don't judge what you see, you don't get angry at the chair for being a chair. But if you fall over it in the dark, you complain about that you fell. But that's normal. So that you fight because it's a mechanical way of relating, you complain to yourself that you're fighting. Rather than realize that there are certain mechanical ways of relating that are in play, and if you start to see them, you don't have to act them out.
Yeah.
You can.
It's so funny because I always, my mother does the same things.
Yeah.
She always fought with my father, and he was never good enough, and he did everything wrong. And really, I swear to myself, I didn't want to do this in my life.
We love you. This is so beautiful because what you resist persists, mm-hmm. grows stronger. And if you resist something about one or the other of your parents,
you become like that. Mm-hmm. And it's all mechanical. But you see, it's what's so wonderful about what you're saying is, you see, with instantaneous transformation, that stuff can dissolve. It can resolve itself. It can lose its power over your life.
And you can have compassion for your mother and yourself. If you see it's just as mechanical as putting a key and turning on the ignition, then she's not bad to have done that. It just was the design function that came along with the programming. And with awareness, there's the possibility of not having to reenact your familial heritage, but creating a life all of your own. I'm really, really happy you're coming to the Art of Listening with us in Hamburg. We're going to have so much fun.
I think so.
I really, really have enjoyed your being here with us on this show today, because your questions have been so genuine, and I feel as though so much has already happened for you here today on the show, and so much will happen when we
get to meet with you in person. Tell me again your husband's first name.
Claudio.
Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
Another thought came to mind for me, Christiane, and that is that one of the things that happens when you get lost or stuck in the rut of disagreeing with him or not listening to him is you actually in that moment think you're resisting Claudio, or you're resisting what he has to say or the content of what he has to say. But I'm really clear that if you were to set Claudio aside and put Shia in his place, or put somebody, another individual there, a Joe or a Hector or a John, you would have the same way of relating. And so it's really neat to be able to start dissolve it as a whole possibility rather than identifying it as a problem with Claudio.
You know, I'm very excited for you. I really am, because just in this conversation, I see that these mechanical ways of relating are going to let go of you. So you can listen. So you are there when your husband speaks to you. Or are your children, are any of them boys?
Yes, one boy. We have one little boy, 5 years old.
Right. Well, you'll relate to him like you do to Claudia.
No, we need to go to a break now. We'll be back shortly, everyone. Come on back, and don't miss being here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
We are back.
Welcome back to Being Here. We're speaking with Christiana in Hamburg, Germany, and we're talking about the art of listening.
You have another question.
Yes, I have another question.
Yes.
Sometimes I have the feeling I don't want to give my husband the right. I mean, he tells me that I'm not able to listen to him. I don't really hear what he's saying. And so I think he's right, but I don't want to give in to him.
Yes.
Like, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So
what would you lose?
What would it cost you to hear what he has to say from his point of view?
My independence.
Ah, very good. Well, maybe and maybe not.
See, if you're not able to listen to him, then you're not independent. You're actually absolutely dominated by the mechanical nature. When you can say yes, 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 okay.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Then you're really independent. When you're not capable of doing that,
the mechanics are running your life. See, what it would take to set aside your own point of view to hear his is you have to risk that what he has to say may change your point of view.
The other thing you'll have to risk is looking like a weak woman or an idiot or something to your girlfriends or your lady friends.
Mm.
See, part of it, too, is that the cultures that most of us come from were really male-dominated, and women are finally flexing their muscle and coming into their own, but they're not just being equal partners. They're overcompensating for all the suppressive time and for any suppressive type of attitudes that are left over in the culture. And so they're not just being equal. They have to be
better than, prove that they're smarter than. So that you're not just being a partner with your husband. You're actually trying to prove to him that he's not so smart after all.
Shia and I went today to...
And he's very smart. You know how I know that?
I don't know.
He married
how you. Know that?
He married you. That makes him very smart.
Shia and I went into a place today. We were at an exercise class together, and the only other people there were women, lots of women. And the thing that was very interesting is that Shia and I were having fun and enjoying each other was actually very disturbing, not to everybody, but there were a couple people there that it was just like unfortunate that he was there because it was like I brought the enemy into the exercise studio. So one of the things to pay attention to, Christiane, is
to the currents in your environment, and that there may be attitudes around that support you in being a independent woman. And I am so happy that I can say yes to the things that Shia wants or
requests of her.
It was interesting. We're working out, and a muscle got tweaked that while we were working, something got tight. And Shia said, "Oh, when we get home, Ariel, you'll need to work on my back because I have this muscle that's tight." And I said, "Okay, which one? Tell me which one so I know which one to work on." And he pointed it out. I said, "Great, when we get home." And there was a woman there who was absolutely appalled that Shia could tell me what to do, and I would say yes, rather than, "Don't bother me, I'm exercising now, and what do you mean you're going to tell me what to do?" When you can say yes unreservedly,
then you are truly independent.
Because then if what wells up in you is that's not
your truth, then you'll say no, but it won't be a mechanical no. It'll just be your
authentic
truth. Right.
Okay. Yes.
Excellent.
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And one last thing. You can practice saying yes in private, and we won't tell anybody.
And we won't tell Claudio either.
You can let us know in a couple of weeks how it's going, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I am so enjoying this show today.
Yes.
I hope you all are, too.
We have another caller.
We absolutely do. Her name is Tricia, and I think we're coming to this side of the Atlantic now. You there, Tricia?
I am. Good evening.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
That's right.
Everywhere. We always try to take in the whole planet when we do it, because people are listening from all over the world. I love this internet thing.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. It was very cool to listen to her talk and know that it's, you know, midnight or whatever it is in Germany. It's late.
Well, whatever time it is there. So, what can I do for you?
Well, I am someone who, in my role, I'm a principal of an elementary school, and I do a lot of talking and listening all day long.
Right.
And that's really the bulk of my job, whether it's communication in person or via email. I talk to a ton of people every day.
Yes.
Right.
I have gotten since knowing you and working with you and really looking at my life and how I interact with people and how I listen, I have found that I have gotten much better at it.
Yes.
I used to come home tired, and I find I'm not nearly as tired as I once was. I'm not resisting having to stop sometimes what I'm doing to listen to other people, because they will very often just come in at a time that I might not prefer it.
Yeah.
Do something else. And so I'm finding that relationships are getting much more richer.
Right.
With the people I work with, as well as the people in my personal life, because it happens in both places.
Yes.
But I still have, like, chunks where I'll miss something. Or, you know, I was in a meeting this morning, and a person said to me, "Oh, remember when we talked about..." And I can't remember for the life of me having that conversation with them. And it's like there's a chunk missing.
It could be one of two things, though, Tricia. Because sometimes that happens with us. There's one of two things. Since you are the principal, you are the head...
Parental figure.
And you're the grand poobah of that school system there. So if a teacher, for instance, comes to speak to you, it's more of an event for them than it will be for you, because how many teachers do you have?
40.
So you have 40, and then you have lots of other staff members and assistant teachers and administrators. And so there's a number of adults there. So if you have 10 conversations with 10 of your teachers in a day, which I'm sure is much smaller a number than you...
than the reality of it.
Then that conversation you'll have, you'll set it aside, and you'll move on to the next one. But for them, it's this event.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then what happens is they often will replay it in their head, and they'll talk to themselves, and they'll rehash it, and they'll have the conversation over again. So when they come back to you, it'll be this event that was much
more significant to them than to you.
Fascinating. And one of the things that's happened, because Shai and I, as you can tell, because we were speaking to Christiane, we have these international calls, we go different places, we meet people all over the world, and there's the two of us, and there's lots of folks in our seminars. One of the things that happens is sometimes when a person, if we say, tell us about it again, if they reiterate the conversation, it's almost as if it's an icon on the desktop of our computer where you double-click it and you open it and then you actually see the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not judging yourself for not remembering it and you actually listen in that moment, then the conversation may reconstitute itself so that you're connected up to what they're talking about again.
Okay.
That being said, that's not going to work if you're busy going somewhere while you're talking with somebody, because then...
That's probably why you don't remember it in the first place.
Yes, there are those that I don't remember at all. And I think you're absolutely right, Shai.
You were preoccupied. They came into your space. You hadn't completely dropped what you were thinking about. They started and launched on you, and then you didn't know where they were. And by the end of the conversation, it was the essence of connection between the two of you did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's a little hard to remember something that you aren't there for because you were thinking about something else while the person was talking.
Right, right. And I've really been trying to say to people, especially because I'll get hit up in the hallway, so I literally will turn, 45 degrees, 90 degrees, and the next person's right there, and I haven't finished even maybe writing down what I need to follow up on. And so I've been really trying to pay attention to saying to someone, okay, give me a second, let me just finish writing this down.
Well, Trish.
And then I engage.
Trish?
Yeah.
Give us a second. We have to go to a break right now. We'll be right back.
All right.
Okay, we'll answer when we come back. Come on back, everyone.
Don't miss me in here.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
We are back.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here. We're speaking with Tricia,
the grand poobah,
the elementary school principal.
Woohoo! How many students?
400.
Wow.
400. Well, look, you have a lot of conversations in a day. Then.
So you were saying that there are people who stop you in the hall?
Oh, absolutely. You got a minute? Is the famous line, and if I had a penny. For every time someone says, do you have a minute, I'd probably be very wealthy.
Well, at least they say, do you have a minute? Sometimes people just launch on you.
Yep. But you know, you could actually handle this all in one fell swoop, but then in life might not be so dramatic. You could send out an email, a memo, a very nice saying, hey, I love when you stop me in the hall and we can talk. But sometimes when you say, do you have a minute, I'm actually in the middle of another project or a thought process, and it's not necessarily what you need to have handled won't be retained by me. So I suggest you either make an appointment, or if you stop me in the hall and talk, then you shoot me off an email reiterating what we just talked about so that that I don't miss anything.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, if you take care of people so that they recognize you may look like you're there, but your body's there.
If you create a structure for them to communicate to you through, then you'll be much more apt to listen to what they have to say.
Uh-huh.
Or, Tricia, you can train yourself to drop what you were about to say or what you were thinking to actually hear what they're saying. Now, you've come to Monday nights and weekends with us,
mm-hmm.
So you notice that sometimes I will forget what I was about to say.
Yes.
Well, that's because I've let go of it because somebody in the audience asks a question, so I have to drop what I was going to say to hear what they're saying.
Okay, so here's now where my nervousness, something's coming up for me. This is great.
Okay.
Because now I drop it, I listen to them, and there's a part of me that's afraid.
That you won't be able to remember it, pick
that's
it back
right.
up.
And then
of
it's,
course.
And then it's gone, and now I'm irresponsible. Cause
yes.
And then I drop it, and I don't complete what needs to be done.
Well, that's yes and no. You see, the interesting thing about incomplete things, they keep showing back up to be completed.
That's one of the things that Sean and I have discovered, even when we forget where we're going. If we then keep re-engaging, whatever it was that's incomplete pops back into our mind. It always does. You never forget. It doesn't go away. It comes back.
Okay. All right.
But you see, the thing is this, Tricia, that you have the fear that you might go out of... See, to really be in control in your life, in one's life, you need to be out of control. To really be in control. Because when you're trying to control everything, life doesn't show up the way you expect it to. So it really stresses you if you're walking down the hall of your school and you've got certain things that you're trying to hold in place in your thoughts, and somebody comes up and starts speaking to you. It knocks you out of control, and if you try to control it, you go further out of control. Mm-hmm. If you surrender to the situation, hear what that person says, everything comes back to you.
You know, there was something that was very wonderful for us when we were on vacation up in Cape Cod. We were at a place where they were taking care of our boat, and the owner did something I found really interesting. And one of the things I really love being there is the employees are so happy, and it's always so well managed, and it's impeccable. And it's not like people are just dragging their behinds through the day. So I've been really paying attention to it because I know the manager makes a difference, or the owner, in this case, the principal. One of the things that he did was he carried one of these little teeny spiral notebooks with him. So if we saw him, we basically had incompletions like, oh, by the way, we took the boat out today and one engine is running faster than the other. Can you fix it? He, instead of being guarded because he was trying to remember what he had to do, he'd whip out his little book, he'd make the note, and he'd put it back in his pocket.
So nothing ever got dropped out.
Mm-hmm. And part of your challenge is that you're guarded going down the hall because you're afraid you're going to be irresponsible, forget something. And
do you have a to-do list?
I do.
Well, you should have on your to-do list things that need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the things that you're personally going to do, but the things that need to get done. So if you have a, it's like a shopping list. If you put it down on the shopping list, you don't forget it usually.
Right.
Because it, you know.
And it's funny you talk about this notebook, because I got one for myself this year.
Well, are you using it?
All the time. I am, and it's been fabulous.
Well, that's great.
It's been absolutely fabulous.
No wonder I'm getting a picture of it.
That's actually like one of those construction worker ones that opens up so you can even stick things inside.
That's great.
As well as the pad on top. So, if
but is it small enough that you can carry it down the hall with you every time you go?
Oh, yeah. It's not. It's 8.5 by 11, but it's fine.
Oh, no, that's big. We're talking about something that's like 3 by 5 or something like that.
You slide in your pocket, you always have it, and then if you're not carrying the big one, you've got something else.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. you can always transfer that from the small to the large. You need a place to hold all of the projects so they don't get dropped out. That's what
right. That
and then you can relax a bit.
Yeah.
The other thing is your mind can only handle so much information. You can only hold on to so much stuff in your head. And if you put it down on paper or in a computer, then it's out of your head. You're more free to be available to the people in your life. And then you can listen to what they're saying without fear that you'll forget something.
Mm-hmm. But I also think your ideas of what you're capable of and your concerns about being irresponsible are as big of an inhibitor to listening as anything else. When Shai and I used to lead, you said something at the beginning of your questions where you said that you're not as tired at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be much more exhausted in general after leading a workshop, and I'd tell people don't ask to set up appointments, don't do anything at the end of a workshop because I can't handle it, but I can now. I've strengthened my ability to be present rather than talk to myself about what I'm capable of doing.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't be surprised at all if you just relax a little bit that you're going to be capable of so much more than you ever expected.
Mm. Cool.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you, Trisha.
Awesome.
Great. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
We had fun.
We'll be coming back next week, but I have to tell you all that in just 10 days, working on yourself doesn't work. The 3 simple ideas that will instantaneously transform your life will be available everywhere books are sold. Get your copy. If you want to go fast and pre-order, you can go on Amazon.com or Borders.com. Order your copy. It's beautiful. It's a brilliant book, and we'd love to have you read it. I think you'll get a lot of benefit out of it. So just wanted to make sure we got that in there.
It will support you greatly in having your life be magic, and that's the truth of it.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. Go up on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. You can find out more about us and what we're up to.
Yes.
And thanks again. We'll be speaking to you next week on Being Here. But between now and then, don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.